Ryan Rashog from TSN. You're like the only guy from TSN TV who's not in Winnipeg.
I know. That's what we do, man. That's our that and the World Juniors are our kitchen sink events. And, yeah, it's busy and a good week for us, but I'm happy to sit back and kick my feet up and watch the game. I'm good with that.
Oh, yeah? Nothing wrong with that at all. Well, let's get to the Oilers first.
Okay.
Talbot's back in for two games. He's only started two of the last 10 games for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
And, he just seems like he's lost his confidence, Ryan, after that Frolik goal in Toronto. He had been a little struggling, but his next two starts, you know, four goals in both games, only allowing, 28 shots, and he allowed four goals in both of those. He didn't look like a guy who was confident. Do you think the extra practice time is going to change anything?
Well, if you listen to the head coach talk about him, then it sounds like it. I mean, Todd was asked today about Cam regaining some of his confidence with a few good starts, and he said, well, I actually think he's regaining his confidence from the way he's been in practice, that he's gotten down to work, done some really good things, and he's looking really good. I think that Cam, and we're still getting to know him a little bit because he's new in town, I think Cam puts an immense amount of pressure on himself, and I think when it doesn't go well for him, I think he's extremely hard on himself. I think he's really critical and really tough on himself. So for him to come in with that opportunity, we all knew the opportunity he had, and he doesn't grab it the way he would have wanted. I think that was tough on him, and I think he's had to regroup a little bit here. And we're going to see kind of mentally what he's made of, because he's going to take a deep breath, and it's been a deep breath. Not many starts have been coming his way, and we're going to see what he's made of. And if maybe he can bounce back and take another run at this thing and get his play to a little bit of an improved level so that the coach can at least feel comfortable going back to him and giving him the kind of opportunity he was supposed to get when they traded for him. So we'll see if this deep breath he's taken, the time and space he's been given, if there really is a confidence improvement. But I think a lot of it is a mental game with Cam Talbot, based on the way I've seen him, the way he talks about his play when you ask him about it. I think he's real hard on himself, and I think that's part of what he's needing to work on.
Other changes, we will see Reinhardt and Greiba, they swatch positions again. But really, the top three lines, Ryan, they went into the blender from Todd McClellan trying to get some offense going from his team. And he talked about it today. Like, the Oilers slowly have reverted back to the same criticisms of the previous few years, that they're just not gritty enough. They don't go to the tough areas regularly enough. They'll score some highlight reel goals, there's no doubt. But they don't have guys who every game are continually, excluding maybe, Hall and Draisaitl, who have been very good, the guys who are going to the tough areas to score.
Well, Teddy Purcell, Benoit Pouliot, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Jordan Eberle, Anton Lander, that's the basic list of guys who probably need to get that message loud and clear, which is to get in there and get a little bit greasy. And if some of those players can start to do that, it'll make a big difference, because those are important players and they're spread throughout the lineup. And it maybe doesn't come as natural for their game, but too bad. They're going to have to do it. And Teddy Purcell was at his best when he was doing a little bit of that. Pouliot has to. He has to find a way to do that without taking a ton of penalties, but to find that back in his game. And there's too many guys. That's a lot of guys I just named that haven't been bringing that part of their compete level night in, night out. And you're not going to win games just by trying to finesse your way through all the time. And that's part of the issue that I've had with Eberle's game the last little bit, is if you're not scoring, fine. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? And Eberle can't be so one-dimensional, where if the puck isn't on his stick and he doesn't have a scoring chance, he's not the guy that's going to go create it. He's just, if he happens to be in the right place at the right time and get a chance, then he could bury. But when he's not burying, then he's not doing anything. So he needs to get a little bit more of a core basic work ethic in his game. At a basic level, his basic level of compete needs to come up to create more of those opportunities, because he's playing like he's just kind of waiting for the opportunities to come to him instead of going out and making them. And that's something that Jordan needs to get back into his game.
Yeah, you always wonder how much of that is, when guys miss the first 5 weeks of a season, right? And you're playing catch up, and you see it most years from a lot of different players. But you're right, even last year we've seen that times from Eberle. And the reality is that he's getting paid $6 million, and not that money is always a factor, but on this team, yeah. You know, he's looked upon to score. Well, you know, he's scored goals, but he's not generating a ton of chances, whether they're not going in or not. And as you mentioned, yep. You know, like, we haven't seen Eberle, you know, start plays that end in goals for other people yet either.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I understand he's missed a bunch of time, and that's fair to a certain degree. But if he were getting lots of chances and having trouble burying, and if the chances were coming to him and his timing and his touch were a little bit off, wouldn't that make more sense? To say, okay, well, yeah, he's been off for a little while. It's going to take him a little bit to get his scoring touch back. What shouldn't take time to get back is your effort level. That should be the automatic. No matter how much time you've missed, get back in there, get the motor running, get going. Now, if some of the more refined skills are taking a little bit of time to click, then that's understandable. But what I'm talking about is sort of a core base level of willingness to get into the corners and get the puck no matter what. The willingness to take it to the net hard and pay the price. The willingness to, you know, on the boards in his own end, Eberle has been, there have been a lot of goals where he had an opportunity to make a difference or rag the puck or make a play or been soft on a guy on the half wall cycle. Like, he has not been a hard enough player at either end of the ice, and it's been costing the Oilers a little bit, and he hasn't been generating enough offense. So if the hands were what were having a little bit of trouble, I could understand that given the nature of his injury, but the work ethic and the engine, I don't get why that's not there to begin with.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Oilers haven't, well, man, it's interesting when you start to look at the teams of places where they haven't won or only had one win. Like, they've been such a bad team. There's a lot of cities they've gone to and have no success to fall back on. Detroit's one of them. No one on the team's ever won a game in Detroit as a member of the Edmonton Oilers. They haven't won since December 3rd, 2009. And,
I have not heard that.
Yeah. Like, after
so not
that.
A single Oiler on the roster has won a game in Detroit as an Oiler.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's no good, hey? And, I mean, that was a team they played quite a bit a few years ago.
Oh, yes, yes. It was. it has not been fun times in Detroit for the Edmonton Oilers. And, you know, the frustrating part about this, Ryan, is after the coach kind of went out and stood up for his team and said, man, we grew as a team, we're getting better, kind of put his neck on the line, because fans definitely didn't want to hear it, then they come out and just lay a stinker in Carolina, and yeah. I just wonder, like, to me, they still don't have enough size, but just their consistency and at times, I know this is a harsh criticism, but I think at times it's almost like losing's acceptable in this group. Do you see the same thing?
Losing being acceptable.
Like, just how their actions show. And I know words never say it, and no one wants to lose, but it's just, like, they lose a bad game, no one's playing well, no one tries to do anything to change the momentum of the game.
Yeah. No, I would, you know, and Todd on the bench, you could see him. They get scored on, and he's going, all right, stay up, stay up, stay up. Like, I think what he notices in front of them is they get down a goal or two, and everybody slumps. And they've had a few victories this year in-game where before the Oilers would have just buckled and never had a chance to come back. They've come back in a few games this year and maybe surprised teams a little bit. So Todd wants his team in game to not slump their shoulders and be out of it because they're down a couple of goals. He's been trying to bring that out in his group, and at times he's been able to. So I would say that I think Todd has set a different tone about losing and whether it's acceptable or not. And I think we will get a little bit of a sense tonight for whether losing is acceptable or not for this team. So they lost that game against Carolina. They weren't able to turn it around in game, which is a problem. And that's a failed test right there. But another test is, how do they bounce back from that against a pretty good team in Detroit in a tough building to play in? So I think, to your point of whether losing is acceptable or not, I think we might learn a little bit about that by the effort level we see tonight. If they come out and are bad again, and we're talking about the same things on Monday about lack of effort and being outworked and those sorts of things, then that's a problem. Because you can imagine Todd was probably pretty hard on him the last couple of days here and is expecting much better effort, whatever the result is, but much better effort So when I think back to that Dallas game where they were horrible at the start of the year, they bounced back with a better effort the next game. So if it goes back-to-back, then, yeah, I would say that's starting to be an indication that they just don't get it. We'll see how they play tonight. I don't know if I would indict them with that just yet. We'll see how they play tonight.
Shagar, I had a chuckle. A lot of people fired up because, you know, on Thursday of the Grey Cup, it's always been the same way ever since I've covered the Grey Cup, that that day is always closed. It's a closed practice. There's no media there.
Yes.
Which today, though, the Eskimos tried to limit the camera work again from everybody, and it caused a real uproar amongst the media guys. Chris Jones at his finest. Like, the paranoia amongst coaches to me is great. But I do want to ask you, did you happen to watch the commissioner's address today?
You know what? I didn't. I was out.
You didn't miss anything because he didn't answer a damn
Friday
question.
Shopping. Didn't miss anything?
No, he didn't answer any question. He just, you know, had a lot of promotion talk and used a lot of catchwords and buzzwords, but really, you know, at the end, it didn't really answer much and didn't
not
say
a lot
much.
Of substance there,
was rather disappointed by it, to be completely honest. And, you know, because my biggest complaint, they unveiled their big logo and they had a kick-ass video with it. It looked great. The problem is the logo's not on their website because their website's terrible and their website's getting redone. So why would you launch this whole big new logo that you have when you don't actually have it on your website?
Well, it sounds like maybe somebody dropped the ball and didn't have it ready to go in time for Grey Cup, because Grey Cup probably was the goal to have it all launched.
Yeah, so then don't do it, is what I'm saying.
Not happening. Yeah, so then maybe just hold off. Yeah, you know, and if you're on Twitter, go to Cam Cole's Twitter page and look at the tweet he sent out about the commissioner's address. It's a picture saying kind of the feeling you got after watching the commissioner's address today, and it's I mean, you have to go there to see it, but it's just a picture of a dog sitting in a chair.
Oh, I've seen it, yeah.
But it's the look on this dog's face is hysterical. So when I saw Cam's tweet, I thought, it sounds like maybe Mr. Commissioner was a little underwhelming. First year on the job, we'll give him a little bit of a grace period and see. Maybe next year's will be better once he learns the ropes a little more.
What's your final score prediction for the 103rd Grey Cup?
Oh, the guys this morning made me do this too, and I'm stressed out about having to do math here. I think the Eskimos are going to win by a couple of touchdowns, and I think they're going to push it up into the 30-point range. Now, I don't think that Ottawa's offense is going to get completely shut out. I do think that Henry Burris is going to be able to get some work done. So, I mean, I would put the Eskimos in the mid-30s, and I would put Ottawa in the early 20s. That's kind of my, so whatever you want to call that, 34-21, whatever you want it to look like. But I think that, I don't think either offense is going to be shut down on the day, but I think Edmonton's offense is going to score a lot.
Shagar, enjoy the Grey Cup where you're watching it with the fam or friends, and we will talk to you on Monday.
Okay, buddy. Have a great weekend. Enjoy it.